God has a word for you, and I'm sure you're going to be mightily blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a time like this. We thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, we reverence your presence. We know you're here. We thank you for speaking to us thus far, and we know you're going to yet speak to us again. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you come and take absolute control in the name of Jesus. Lord, less of me and more of you in the name of Jesus. We don't want to see any man. We want to see you. Come and glorify Jesus today in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. I'm a bit shy and a bit nervous, but we'll see. First, I want to thank God for this opportunity, and I want to thank the ministers for giving me the privilege to share with us. I'll be sharing very briefly with us, and I believe I was saying, what, there was a time I was saying that I'm among friends, so I tell myself, we're among friends, relax, relax, it's okay. Okay. Today I'm going to be sharing on something I've titled, Watch Your Step. Watch Your Step. And our main text is going to be from the book of Ephesians. I love the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. The book of Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 15 to 18. Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 15 to 18. I'm reading from the King James Version. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Amen. We're going to be reading that scripture from the Message translation shortly. I've written some things and I'm trying to stick to it. I believe very strongly that this year is an interesting year. It's going to be an awesome year for me and for everyone by God's grace. And I was saying to Sister Rachel during the video that it's gone so quickly, and before you know it, by next week, it's the last Sunday in February, and it's gone so fast. And what David was sharing with us this morning, and he was saying about, you know, the theme for the year is open doors. I believe everybody knows that. And we've heard so much about it. And thank God for the choir. The word is a word in season for us to say yes to God. But, you know, when I started thinking about this, one of the first things that came to my mind is the fact that, you know, the theme is open doors. And since the beginning of this year, we've been hearing different things. We've heard different messages talking about how do you recognize the opportunity, praying that we'll see the opportunity and different things like that. How do you pray an effective prayer and all of that? But my first challenge to us today is, so everything we have heard since the beginning of this year about open doors, how many things can you remember? Just try and think. Can you remember anything in particular? It might be something we heard during Bible study. It might have been during prayer meeting. It might have been during vigil. We've had two vigils now. It might have been on a Sunday. Can you remember anything? If you can remember something, you know, Ine said something very important this morning, and he said that we need to, that we'll be doers of the word. How many of those things are you doing? What are you doing differently this year than you've done in previous years? You know, I don't know who said it, but they said that it's only a fool that will expect a different result. And he carries on doing the same thing the same way, and he will expect a different result. So we're praying that God help us. We want a closer walk with you. We want, you know, this year is going to be awesome and all of that. But if we carry on doing things the same way we've been doing them, we're going to get the same result. There'll be no change, except we change the things we're doing. When I was thinking about a title for what I was going to share with us, the first thing I wanted to say was, what are you doing? You know? So I want you to ask yourself, what am I doing? What have I been doing since the beginning of this year? Because just the same way we are saying February has nearly finished, before you know it, June would have nearly finished. And then we say, oh, it's November. November has nearly finished. And then it would be, oh, it was nearly Christmas. And then we'll be like, okay, where did the year go? What have I achieved this year? What have I done differently this year? Amen. During one of the Bible studies, we learned that when Paul wrote the letters to different churches, it was one of his intentions that the letters be read in other churches as well. So this letter to the people of Ephesus, he expected them to have probably read it to some other churches. So I expect that this is a letter to Amazing Grace Parish. It's a letter written to Ephesus, but he's talking to us as well. I'd like us to read Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read it from the Message translation, if we can get the Message translation, please. Ephesians chapter 5. So verse 15 says, so watch your step, use your head. So watch your step. King James says, be careful how you live. If I tell somebody to watch your step, the first thing you would do is look down, right? You look, what was that? What's on the floor? And because of the times we're in now, it's very important that we watch our step. We're careful how we live. Not just living anyhow, but how we live. We have to be more intentional about things. I know we hear that over, and that's said a lot, but it's so important. It's really, really important. And Paul said that we should watch our step, see that we are not fools, but we are wise. That means that if I'm a fool, I won't watch my step. If I'm wise, I will watch my step. Is that correct? Is that English simple enough? Yeah. Okay, so if I'm wise, I will watch myself, my step. I'll be careful how I live. And I believe so much that steps are very important to where you want to get to at the end. So let's say we have a big picture. I have a plan to be a professor. And let's say I'm in primary school. And I decide that, oh, primary school is so hard. But I really, really desire to be a professor. How will I achieve that? I have to take steps. It won't just happen like that. I have to take steps. And Bible said in the book of Psalms, Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. Thank you. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. The steps of a good man. So Paul said we should watch our step. We should be careful how we live. And I'm looking at my step. I'm being careful where I go. But Bible tells me that God is the one that orders my step. It tells me where to go. So it's a bit like playing hopscotch. I wanted to say Subway for a minute. Hopscotch. And you're watching where you're stepping. But Bible says that God is the one that orders that step. So the step I'm taking right here, right now, is ordered by God. I take the first step. Sir Richard told us last week when we were looking at God's word that God leads us step by step. So my next question is, the last instruction God gave you, have you obeyed it? So it's a bit like a sat nav, isn't it? It says turn left, and then you turn left, and then it'll tell you the next thing, right? It will, you know, the last thing God said to you. So I first said to us that God has given us a vision this year, God has given us instructions. So the last thing God said to you, have you done it? Amen. Do you remember it even? Amen. I believe that God will help us. There's a song that came to my mind when the choir started ministering. And you know, they say that so many things happen around and sometimes we're oblivious to it. There's a song that says, whatever it is you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me, Lord. Whatever it is you're doing. I'm not singing it right, am I? In this season, don't do it without me. God is at work. But then, are you engaging with what God is doing? It's a bit like this service. God is here. God has been speaking to us since the beginning of this service. But am I paying attention? Am I actually listening? You know, sometimes we are here, but we are not here. So he's looking at me now, and, but his mind might be far, 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 far away. And, you know, it's really important that we engage. So I'm watching my step. I'm being careful how I tread. And I'm applying wisdom, because if I watch my step, then I know that I am walking wisely. We always talk about a relationship with God. So if the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, that means that you expect that that good man is listening to God. That good man is paying attention to what God is saying, so that I take a step I know, okay, this is where God wants me to go. I do that. I obey that completely. And then I take another step, and I know that, okay, this is what God wants me to do. I do that completely. And then you might look back 5 years from now and then realize that, oh, I'm actually where God said I'll be. But then you did not just get there. You didn't jump there. It was step by step. Amen. I've written some points there about how to watch our step. Because watch your step. How do you watch your step? And I've said about, you know, a relationship with God that is very important. The second one is also taking time to listen to God. So if I ask, probably everybody here will say, I have a relationship with God, right? But then do we take time to listen to what God is saying? What is God saying to you now? Not what God said last week or last year. What is God saying now? It's very important that we know. And a lot of times, because of the business, we're so busy. There's so much noise, you know. It's so hard to pay attention to what God is saying. And it takes a lot of conscious effort to be able to pay attention to what God is saying and to listen. Thank God for a period of prayer and fasting and a period of seeking God and making it intentional to actually hear God, to know the exact step you should take. I believe very strongly that the Christian race is a very, very personal race. Much as I come to church and everybody comes to Bible study, you come for prayer meeting or you don't come, what you will hear from the service, so what Deborah will take away from this service, from what I will take away from the service, because our walk is a very personal walk. And the step that God is asking me to take is from the step that God is asking you to take. And it's very important that you know that step. Amen. It's also important to pay attention to what is going on around you. So you pay attention to what God is telling you, but you also pay attention to what is going on around you. So you're conscious of things around you. You're not burying your head in the sand. Bible talks of the sons of Issachar, and they said they understood the times and the seasons. So that means that they could look around and they could understand what that season was about. They didn't just understand the times and the season. They understood what Israel needed to do at that time and that season. So I've said that you need a relationship with God. We know that. We need to pay attention to God. We need to take time to listen. It won't just happen. You need to take time to listen. But then we need to pay attention to things going on around us as well. So it's a bit like saying, you know, there was a time I was talking to some people and I said to them that, oh, you should be able to do this calculation without a calculator. And they looked at me very funny. But when I was at school, we weren't allowed calculators to do maths. You had to do it in your head. Some people know what I'm talking about. Some people don't. But then, things like that. So the same thing like with computers. I remember when I was in primary school, was there computers when I was in primary school? I don't think so. Even when I was in secondary school, I don't think so. But then, nowadays, everybody is using a computer. So what if my teacher in secondary school is still teaching now, and my teacher doesn't know how to use a computer? So the person has not kept up with the times. That's what we'll say, right? Or you're still using the Nokia, you know that old Nokia with the bulky one. So what if you're still using that Nokia? So you say you're using a mobile phone, everybody look at you funny. So if you probably show Oluwatoni that phone, you'll probably be like, what's that? A phone that can't connect to the internet. They probably can't get their heads around it. But it's about keeping up with the times, isn't it? The same way in every area of our lives, we need to keep up with what's going on. So in your career, what is going on? So your university, for example, what's the latest thing in your career? What's going on now? What's the in thing? So that you know that, oh, they're employing people on this job. But what if in the future that's going to change? God could give you insight about that. But if you don't keep up with the times, a lot of times Christians underachieve because of these things. So we pray and we fast and we're reading the word, but we're not paying attention to the times and the seasons around us. Is that because God is not speaking to us? God is speaking to us, but we can see the times and the seasons, and we can go back and ask God, what does this mean? I love the story of Daniel and Joseph. I remember a very interesting thing. It was Mide that was sharing during some time ago, Bible study, and she made a connection between Joseph and Daniel, and that stuck with me. And she said that, they were in another kingdom, or somewhere else away from home, and they made a difference in that setting. And I was thinking about us as Christians. So we always talk about the times around. We focus so much on, the times are desperate times, it's terrible times, the days are evil and all of that. That is correct. But if the days are evil and there's terrible things going on around, should we not be a Joseph in our generation? Should we not be a Daniel? Because Joseph interpreted the dream. So we always talk about using our gifts. Joseph interpreted the dream. But when Pharaoh needed a suggestion about the solution to the problem, Joseph did not say, "Excuse me, sir, can I go and quickly pray about it? Can I come back to you in 6 months?" Joseph had a solution. I believe very strongly that, I'm saying a lot of I believe very strongly. I wonder why. I believe very strongly that God has called you and I to be solutions to this generation. We said it's a year of open doors. So doors are open unto us. We have opportunities to change the circle of influence, maybe, to be in some places where you've never been before, and to be a Joseph in this generation. There's a song we used to sing. What am I singing? There's a song we used to sing. God send another Elijah to bring thy power down. Send down fire, also send down rain to heal the sick, raise the dead, and glorify your name. Lord, I want to be another Elijah here. Bible tells us that Elijah was a man of like passion. So if we really want to be another Elijah in our generation, if we really want to be another Joseph in our generation, if we really want to be another Daniel that would make sincerely make a difference, that would be obvious to everybody, so that you wouldn't need to say, you know, God is with me. It will be obvious to everybody. You know, Daniel, when Daniel displayed his excellence, it was only the king that was saying, yes, this man, the spirit of the Lord is in him. And other people also testified that, there is a man. The spirit of God is in that man. Why? Because he watched the way he lived his life. And it's very important that we understand the time. So I've said that we need to take time to listen to what God is saying to us. And we also need to understand what is going on around us, to understand the times and the seasons. It's also important to be clear of what God is doing. So we are looking at the times and the seasons. So the times are changing. But what is God doing as well at this time? What is God doing in my life, around me, and in this generation? What is God doing? If I don't have an understanding of that, I probably will not be able to make a difference in my generation. And I believe that that's one of the things that God has called us to do. So beyond you preaching the gospel to your friends and your neighbors to believe in Jesus, God has called you to make a difference in this generation. He says, let your light shine before men, that they will see your good works and glorify God in heaven. I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. The latter part of that, Psalms 37, verse 24, I believe. Not 23. I'm going to read from King James now. Well, I'm back to King James, sorry. Psalm 37. No, can I have verse 23, please? Yeah, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Oh, I think it's the NLT version that says that he's interested in every detail of our lives. Am I right? Yeah, NLT says that he delights in every detail of our lives. So God orders our steps. He tells us where we're to go. But he's also interested in every detail of our lives. So I'm struggling with this model. I don't know what they're talking about in that model. God is interested in it. There's an area of my career that I just don't get. I need breakthrough. I need to get there. And I don't know how to get there. God is interested in it. There is something I'm really, really good at, but I don't know how to make it, you know, commercial. God is interested in it. A lot of times I think that as Christians, we assume that God is interested in my prayer life and in the fact that I can study the word. That's important. But beyond that, every area of my life, God is interested in it. That scripture tells us that it delights in every detail, everything. If you're concerned about it, God is concerned about it. I've written here that we tend to assume by our conduct that God is only interested in our prayer life and our word life. But what about our health? What about our relationships? What about our desires? What about our struggles, our aspirations, our strengths, our weaknesses? God is interested in everything. I don't know what it might be that you're worried about right now. I don't know what it might be. You might not be particularly worried. It might just be something that, you know, I just think about it sometimes. I don't tend not to worry about it too much. I'm very spiritual. But God is interested in that. And it should be very helpful if you could talk to him about it, because he is interested in that. Amen. In verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 says that we should make the most of every opportunity. Ephesians 5:17. Oh, sorry, verse 16. I didn't do this very often, you can tell. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. It said to make the most of every opportunity. And we said that it's a year of open doors, and God is going to increase our circle of influence. God is going to take us to higher grounds. As we begin to understand the times and the seasons, different opportunities will come to us. But while that we are waiting for that, there are opportunities we have here and now. What are we doing with those opportunities? The opportunities I have that I don't make good use of, and I'm preaching to myself now, what am I doing about those opportunities? It is very important that I make good use of those opportunities. There are opportunities that we have in church that we don't use. So, for example, there was a day that we had, I think it was Sunday school, and we're talking about fellowship, and somebody said that fellowship is not just us here like this. It's also fellowship after church. I think we like the fellowship after church more than the fellowship in church. Because like in Bible study, the people talk more after the Bible study than in the Bible study. The same during the service, you know. But those are opportunities. So after the service, so Lemmy talks to me and she says something to me. What will I do with that information? So it might be something that Lemmy is concerned about that she has shared with me. I might not be able to do anything about it. I might just be like, okay. Not a, and I just say, okay. But what do I do with that information? Do I go away and during that week, do I pray for Lemmy about that? Do I pray that God should help Lemmy to, like, sort that out in her mind if it's a decision that she has to make or something like that? Do I see an opportunity in even talking to people to speak a word of encouragement to somebody perhaps? Somebody might not get anything from this service. It might be after this service that Bro Charles now talks to that person, that Bro Charles might speak a word in season to that person. And that might just be just what that person needs. I believe that God will help us, that we'll desire to be a blessing much more than we'll desire to just be blessed. For everybody in church, there's a reason you're in church, and God is willing to use everybody. But we have to make ourselves available to God. You have to connect and engage with that opportunity that you have so that we'll make the very best use of the opportunity we have. There is something you have that somebody else needs. There's something you have. Dr. Miles Moreau said something about, you know, the grave being the most popular, you know, the one with the greatest treasures and everything. And, you know, we all talk about these things, and I was listening to a message about a couple of weeks ago, and the man was saying how it's when somebody dies that they start talking about all these wonderful things about the person. Why is it that you wait till the person dies before you now start talking about those things? But much more, there are potentials that remain untapped. And we'll be like, that person did not sing that song so well. It should have been, I don't know, those keys things. It should have sung on that key and not on that key. Oh, Sister June should not have played it like that. She should have played it like this and like this. Maybe you should be playing the keyboard. There is something that God wants you to do. Beyond what you're doing now, there is something that God wants you to do. God might want Yemi to send me a text to encourage me. He might send me a text. It might be that night that I need that text. You know, a lot of people come here and say that, oh, I had a bad week. But God might have laid it on somebody's heart to send a word to that person. But if we don't do it, then we're talking about steps now. That's one step. If I don't do that step, then there can be the next step. So I can go from sending texts to people every week. Okay, God, who should I send a text to? And then I send text to this person, and I send text to that person. And from there, I write short notes to people. And from there, maybe my ultimate desire is to write a book. From there, I can write a book. But then I will say that, the inspiration for my book is not coming. And I'm praying the steps. What about this step now? God is saying, send that text. Do that one first. And the other ones will come. Amen. I trust God that God will help us in Jesus' name. Romans chapter 8 and verse 19. We're talking about making the most of every opportunity we have. Romans 8 and verse 19. It says, all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. I think that in our generation, despite all the terrible things that are happening, I think the terrible things are just cries for help most of the time. So you meet some people, they'll tell you that a teenager that is rebellious is crying out for help, for something. There's a reason why that's happening. And you know, different things like that. Our generation is going downhill, right? We can talk about, make a list of what's going up wrong, we can make a long list. But the reason that's happening is a cry for you and I to manifest. They're waiting for a manifestation. They're waiting for a Joseph to come. They're waiting, where is the Elijah in our generation? They're waiting for a manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. There are opportunities for the next generation. I'm passionate about children. And I believe strongly that it's not until you have a child that you can make a difference in a child's life. You can meet a child. So a child does something wrong, and you tell that child something. You don't just look and say, it's just a child. What are you doing for the next generation? So Ugo might say that, sorry Ugo, you're in front of me, so I'm like picking on you, Anna. Ugo might say that I'm just a youth. What's my business with Sophia, for example? But then there is something that Ugo can do for the next generation. There is something you and I can do for the next generation. What are the opportunities that we have to make a difference in the next generation? So we have said that the creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. We're saying that we're called to make a difference in our generation. But are we investing in the next generation as well? What are you doing about the next generation? What am I doing with the opportunities I have with my children? So I spend time with them now. I have time with them now. But maybe 20 years from now, they'll probably not be around me. And that opportunity is gone. For your children, what opportunities do you have? And what are you doing with the opportunity? Are you maximizing? Are you doing the very best you can do with that opportunity? I pray that God will help us. That it won't just be that we live here and be like, oh yeah, I need to do it. But it will actually be something that we'll take a positive step about and be committed to and will actually do. And God will help us in Jesus' name. We have said that we need to watch our step and we need to make the most of the opportunities we have. Can I please have that verse 16 in NLT version, please? Ephesians 5:16. We're going to do something very quickly. We're going to learn a scripture. Amen. Most of the time, we don't learn scripture. The children come and they tell us memory verses and we clap and we say, oh, that's fantastic. If you're like me, most of the scriptures I know, I learned when I was small. Now is more challenging, shall we say, to memorize scripture. Amen. But we're going to memorize this one. This one is very easy. Can we read together, please? Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Ephesians 5:16. Can we do it one more time, please? Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. If you forget everything I've said today, remember this. Make the most of every opportunity. Every single day is an opportunity. Every hour is an opportunity. Every single day you go to work and you meet that person is an opportunity. Make the most of it. It might be a smile. You might start off with a smile and then a word. And then you can have a full-blown conversation with that person. Make the most of every opportunity. Amen. So we're watching our step. We're making sure we're taking the correct steps and engaging with God, and we are making the most of the opportunities he places in front of us. Amen. Verse 17 says that, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Can I have that in the Message translation, please? I like the Message translation. It makes it like very 21st century. It says, don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the master wants. I want to focus on the early part of that, the first part of that, where it says, don't live carelessly and unthinkingly. Essentially, when I read that, what comes to mind is, don't go into neutral gear. You know, sometimes when things are difficult, when you don't know what to do, you just be like, we'll just leave it. I'll just leave it, and I'll just let it go. And we disengage. Sometimes, so for example, there's all this talk about sexuality and teaching our children all this and all of that, and you hear so much in the news, and you're like, hey, God, help us with all these things that's happening, you know? And it's very easy for us to just say, God will help us. That's a fantastic Christianese, isn't it? God will help us. And then we don't do anything about it. Don't act without thinking, unthinkingly. Don't live quite carelessly. That means that make sure you always engage in your mind as well. I was saying earlier that you might be here. I'm talking now. Everybody's looking at me. But you might not be here because your mind might be on your Facebook page or, you know. But engage. Make sure that you don't go into neutral gear, that you always stay engaged in your mind. So we said that it has to do with the steps that you take on a daily basis. It has to do with your relationship with God and paying attention to listen to God. But then to do it continuously, to be consistent in it. One of the main things I took away from the Excellence Conference was consistency. To be consistent in it, we have to make sure that we stay engaged in our mind and we don't go into neutral. Amen. I've said here that when we are under so much pressure, we tend to disengage. And there is so much more to you than even you know. In verse 17, God admonishes us to make sure we stay engaged. Don't switch off. Please tell your neighbor, don't switch off. Don't switch off. Make sure you stay engaged with what God is doing. We said earlier, what God is doing in this season is a prayer that he won't do it without us. The only way that will happen, the only way that the open doors, well, at the end of this year, when people are testifying, oh, God opened this door for me and all of that, the only way you be a part of it is if you stay connected and you don't switch off and you don't just let things slide. I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. Watch your step. Don't be thoughtless or disengaged. And remember what God is saying to you. Verse 18 talks about the fact that we should not be drunk with wine, wearing in excess, but we should be filled with the Spirit. We should not be drunk with wine, wearing in excess, but we should be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit there talks about control. You know, when somebody is drunk, they lose control of what their own mind is telling them to do. And it's a drink that takes over. That's what they say. there's also another school of thought that says that when a drunk person is saying something, it's actually what's in the person's mind that the person is like putting a guard on that the person is saying. Right? It's all about control. So Paul likens that to, and he's talking about being filled with the Spirit. So if I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm controlled by the Holy Spirit, that means that I lose myself, I lose control of myself, and it's the Holy Spirit that is now in control. That's when I'm filled, like someone that is filled with alcohol. I'm filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in absolute control, and there is no restriction, there's no guard anymore. The Holy Spirit is having full expression. So when the Holy Spirit is saying, pray with this person, and you're thinking, is a bus stop. But if you're filled and you're not in control, the Holy Spirit is in control, you will, irrespective of where you are or what you're doing, the Holy Spirit will have full expression. We can, the reason I'm talking about this verse also because it's part of the other one we're talking about, is because it's so important that what we want to achieve, it is only by the Holy Spirit that we can achieve it. So we're saying we should watch our step, we should be careful how we live, and we should stay connected to God and pay attention. The only way we can do that consistently and successfully is if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, if we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. But sometimes what happens is we use the Holy Spirit as an excuse. I don't know if at some point in your life you've experienced when you be like, something happened and you're like, that, you know, that was just the Holy Spirit in absolute control. That wasn't me at all. That was just the Holy Spirit. But imagine if that is now the norm. But there are other times when you know that the Holy Spirit told you to do something and you did not do it. And then maybe somebody else now does it. Or something goes wrong and you're thinking, oh, I should have done that. But what we do most times as Christians is that we use the Holy Spirit as an excuse. So we say, for example, that we encourage everybody to come to Bible study. So, brother, why are you not at Bible study? God will help us. Just keep praying for me. God will help us. Yes, God will help you. There is grace available, but there is something you can do. So let us not use the Holy Spirit as an excuse. We said we should be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's willing to use us to do awesome things. We should not settle for mediocre Christianity because God is counting on us. Our generation is counting on us. The next generation is counting on you and I. And I pray that God will help us. We're going back to God now. To not take the grace in vain. I'm trying to think of the word to use now. So that we don't receive the grace in vain. That's the word I'm looking for. So we don't receive the grace in vain. Watch your step. What is God saying to you? Make the most of every opportunity you have. Make yourself available to God. Remember that this generation is waiting for your manifestation. The next generation is counting on you. If it were just down to you, will the counsel of God stand in this generation? Can God gladly say, it's not because it's not dependent on what anybody thinks. It all depends on what God thinks. Can God confidently say that, yes, you've done what he expects you to do. You've achieved what he expects you to achieve. We are going to pray. While I was preparing for this, there's a song that was on my heart so much. And I don't really know all of it, so I've asked for help. thank you. I've asked for help. While we listen to that song, we're going to pray. I don't know what God has spoken to you today. It might be nothing I've said. It might just be something that God has just spoken to your heart while I was speaking. I'd like us to just say a quiet word to God.
is empty.
I don't know if maybe you don't even know what God will have you do. It's an opportunity to just speak to him this afternoon and just say, Lord, help me to know what you have me do in the name of Jesus. I don't know if God has spoken to you about what he wants you to do and you just need more guidance. Lord, I need help. Send guidance to me, Lord. Send people my way to know what to do in the name of Jesus. I don't know if you have the guidance and you can't see, you know, these times, you don't understand the times and the season and you don't know the right things to do. I'd like us to pray that, Lord, open my eyes that I may have a better understanding of the times and the seasons that I'm in the name of Jesus. The times and the seasons in your life is not the same with anybody else's. It's so important that you understand it. You need to understand the times and the seasons in your life and you need to know what you need to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask for your help. You might be a fantastic vessel in God's hand, but God is saying there's so much more to you than you know. There is so much more he wants to achieve. There's so much more he wants to do through you. If Joseph hadn't taken his place in his generation, his entire household would have been wiped clean. Not just him, not the whole of Israel, but even the Egyptians, all of them would have died. He saved his generation. I'd like us to pray that God help me, that for every step, I said this step by step, for every step you ask me to take, Lord, help me to yield completely to you and the courage to do what you will have me do. Help me to do it, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. The practical things I need to be doing to move from where I am to where I need to be. Lord, help me to do this in the name of Jesus.
And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the word in season, O God. We ask, Father, that even as we've heard, that you'll help us, O God, to be clear on the instructions you're giving us. But not just to hear, O God, but to obey at every point in time. That, Lord, you will not get weary of speaking to us. That you will not be silent in our lives. But at every turn, with every step, you will give a clear instruction. And we will hear and we will obey in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your daughter that you've used. We ask, O God, for renewed virtue. That, Lord, the word that she has shared would not stand against her in judgment in the mighty name of Jesus. But even as she's exhorted your children, you continue to encourage her in the name of Jesus. You will prosper her ministry in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that even as we go into this new week, as your word says that the steps of the righteous is ordered by you, we thank you, Father, because our steps will be ordered by you in Jesus' name. That we will not take a wrong turn in the name of Jesus, but you'll cause all things to work together for our good. We give you all the praise, Father, for we pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen in Jesus' name. And shall we share the grace in fellowship? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen.